This is Stateside. I'm April Baer.
The COVID-19 pandemic was powerful enough to shut down Broadway and devastate performing arts across the country. After a year and a half of virtual theater, countless tribute Zoom concerts, dozens of staged play readings, and more, theaters across Michigan are starting to reopen. But what lasting effect did the pandemic have on the dramatic arts? This summer, we've been talking to theater companies across the state to examine the pandemic's effect on live theater and to figure out where we go from here. With us today are Sarah Winkler and Courtney Burkett of Detroit Public Theater, an established company that's making a fresh new start. We'll explain. Winkler and Burkett are co-founders and producing artistic directors. Sarah, Courtney, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
Thank you so much for having us.
You know, some of us set pretty modest goals for the pandemic, maybe take a walk every day, maybe call our families more often or eat more vegetables. You guys acquired a new building downtown and moved.
We did. We set those goals before the pandemic started. And we really, along with our board, kept our foot on the gas and said, we want to build something that will be here for generations and a home for artists and a place where Detroiters can gather and tell stories. And we kept pursuing that throughout the pandemic, even when we didn't know what was the future held for our industry. We believed that theater is an ancient art form, and humans need it. We need a place to gather. We need a place to heal. We need a place to see our own lives reflected back at us. And so we kept building for our community throughout the pandemic, and we're really looking forward to the future and looking forward to having a place to gather and to welcome people in Midtown Detroit.
You know, owning a building is a huge step for any nonprofit arts organization. The money that one has to raise to do that is a big lift. And buildings also come with sizable ongoing operation and maintenance costs. Can you tell us about your process in figuring out whether this could pencil out for you?
Sure. First of all, I want to say we don't own the building. We have a long-term lease on the building, and we have wonderful partners in our landlords, who are Three Mission Partners. So we embarked on strategic planning with our board beginning in, I believe we began in early 2018. And part of the strategic plan was the understanding that in order to grow, we were going to need a bigger space where we could run our shows for longer. And we did the math on that. And we have been both ambitious and also realistic and conservative in our planning. And we have a $5 million comprehensive campaign that we've embarked on. We've raised nearly 50% in pledges towards that campaign so far. And it includes not just capital, but also operating and capacity building expenses, and also an artistic excellence fund with investment in artists and in the future of excellent work in Detroit.
So what do you hope you'll be able to achieve at the new location? I mean, you mentioned the fact that having the ability to run shows for longer is a big deal in terms of making the work pencil out. Are there other ways that it might impact the shows that you're able to produce?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk a little bit just about running shows longer. One of the things that we were constantly struggling with was that we were opening a show and starting to get momentum. You know, we are still a very young company even now. And so people were just learning about us and learning about particular productions. So by the time the show was closing weekend, we would have fully sold out houses. But earlier in the run, we wouldn't. So we were turning away audiences often, and people were not able to see the shows. So we're excited that audiences will have more opportunity to see the work. We will have a lot more autonomy, so we'll be able to use our space for a lot of different ways that we haven't before. As far as artistically, we shared the space with the education programs that we produced in at the DSO. So we'll have more access to the space creatively and have a lot more that we can do. There's a lot of ways that the building will continue to deepen the work and continue to deepen our relationship with our community, which is something we're very excited about. We'll be able to open our doors more often and have more supplementary programming around the production. So opportunities for talkbacks, opportunities for conversations, opportunity for partnerships. We're also in the midst of developing a residency program. And Sarah Winkler, what, do you want to talk about that?
Sure, I'd love to talk about the residency program. So part of the residency program is a way of paying forward what the DSO did with Detroit Public Theater. So the DSO welcomed us into this space and nurtured us, and we were incubated in this magnificent space that we shared with the education programs there. And we knew when we began looking for our own home where we could run shows longer and have larger houses, we knew that there were a lot of companies like us that did not have state-of-the-art, fully outfitted space that was built as a theater to perform in. So we wrote a grant to the Community Foundation of Southeast Michigan, and we asked for their support in convening a cohort of a diverse group of performing arts organizations. One of them is a devised theater company, a host of people. One of them is a youth development and theater organization called Teen Hype. Inside Out Literary Arts is one of our partners, and John Sloan of Ghostlight Productions is another one of the members of the cohort. And together we are all designing what this residency program will look like, where we will offer subsidized space to other performing arts companies for a portion of the year, where they can have a fully outfitted state-of-the-art home in which to create their work. We're designing everything from front of house, like house management and box office, to technical support with our production manager and facilities manager, to what kind of equipment different, you know, a dance company will need different equipment than a theater company, than a spoken word company. And so we're gathering all that information now, and we're going to put together packages that people can come and share our space and grow the way we were able to grow inside the DSO.
Yeah. Can you say anything about how the mission of DPT has evolved during this time? You're 5 years in now. What had you hoped for this when you started, and what is it becoming now?
We've always had very audacious goals, and we have tried to really dream big from the beginning. I think that this theater is the answer, for me at least, to the question, what would you do if you could do anything? I would build a world-class theater in the heart of Detroit and fill it with incredible artists from all over the place. And so being able to do this has been incredible. The pandemic has given us a lot of time, certainly, and space, but it's really allowed us to think very intentionally about the ways we plan to use the space. We had already set the plans in motion to create a permanent home for Detroit Public Theater. So it really gave us the space to think about, what do we want a residency program to look like? Whose voices do we want in the room who do we want to invite in to dream and to build this with us? How do we want to include, make sure we're creating an inclusive space that everyone feels welcome in, and that everyone feels they're represented in the work.
If you're just joining us, my guests today are Courtney Burkett and Sarah Winkler, co-founders and producing artistic directors at Detroit Public Theater. I read something recently that talked about the scarcity mindset in theater. You know, there's not always enough money or time to go around. And the author noted that a lot of companies doubled or tripled their workload trying to survive the pandemic, laying off people and just piling on to whoever was left, making grant applications and talking to donors and madly trying to come up with content that audiences might find meaningful over a Zoom connection. And I was curious what you observed happening in the theater space during COVID. Can you think of moments like that?
Well, for us, I will say, I think from our founding, we had a lot of incredible advisors and mentors and partners that helped us lead and build from an abundance model rather than a scarcity model from the very, very beginning. Our mission has been about bringing in as many voices as possible and shining a light on all of the beautiful talent that exists in Detroit and in our region, and sharing that talent with the world and the country. And the pandemic, we were very, very fortunate in that we have a very small staff, and we did not have to lay off any of our full-time employees. There were no furloughs. So our full-time staff remains entirely intact, and we're actually beginning to grow the staff in preparation for the building. We used that abundance model as we created work in the pandemic as well. None of us are filmmakers, we are theater makers. And we did not try to create filmed content on our own. We worked in partnership. It was that let's find a way to make sure that there is enough for everybody and offer what we have and hopefully benefit from some of what other folks have. So, you know, the biggest partnership project that we did during the pandemic was this partnership with Detroit Public Television, Chautauqua Theater Company in Western New York, and Buffalo's WNED, which is the PBS affiliate in Buffalo. And we filmed two solo performances that we had produced on the Detroit Public Theater stage in the past. And we filmed them all together. So for us, we leaned into the abundance model.
Yeah, I think that Detroit has made that particularly possible. I don't think the scarcity model has served the theater industry at large for a very long time. I think it's damaging on a lot of levels for the industry. And I think the industry in this awakening that we've had during the pandemic is really coming reckoning with a lot of that. It doesn't have to be that way. And it didn't have to be that way in Detroit. There's enough room here. There's enough space here. There's enough audience here. We have everything we need. And we can create beautiful art with what we have.
And share it.
Yeah. Sometimes the stated values of an arts organization don't exactly match up with where they put their budgets. And there are some unspoken threads that run through theater culture that you need some big, bland rainmaker shows in order to later produce the shows that really matter. What are some of the ways that you've tried to push back on that with DPT?
I don't know that we've had that experience because our shows that really matter are probably our biggest money makers. So, I feel like all of our shows really matter, but frequently the shows with some of the most important questions are the shows that really are the biggest blockbusters for us.
Yeah, I think the conversation with our audience, you know, that we established from our first season has been wonderful. So we didn't start out with Rainmaker and the other shows. And there's a great place for those shows and there's audiences for those shows, but we started out doing something different. And really the biggest guide for us and who's been with us from the beginning and building this theater from the beginning is Dominique Morisseau, whose work also is our audience's favorite. It's the show that does the best. They are the shows that do the best for us. And also she really helped us guide and talk about what are some of the barriers for entry for certain audiences? How do we welcome people in? How do we let our community know that this is for them? And so that helped us build an audience and to engage in a conversation with an audience so they knew what to expect from us and are coming back.
Yeah, for those who may not know, Dominique, of course, in addition to being a very highly decorated playwright, is an executive artistic producer now with the company. And we should say that was another thing that sort of came across the transom. I guess maybe it was a little before the pandemic started when that announcement was made. Does that sound right?
No, it was made in the pandemic. Dominique was one of our very first advisory board members. I worked with Dominique in New York, and we came to Dominique when we were first talking about founding the company and asked her if she would be an advisor and asked her if she would consider allowing us to produce Detroit 67 in our opening season. We actually asked if we could open the theater with it, and she said, why don't you close the first season with it, which was a really good idea.
Yeah.
So she has been with the company since before the beginning and then transitioned from being an advisory board member to being on the board of directors. And then it was in the midst of the pandemic. It was actually last summer around this time that Dominique came to us and said, I would like to join the artistic leadership of the company. I would like to add to my responsibilities as board member, and I would like to become an artistic leader of the company. And I believe Courtney, Sarah, Claire, and I all burst into tears. We were so honored and excited. And so we set about designing the structure of that position and working with the board and then announcing it.
Yeah. This is such an amazing time with everyone coming out of hiding to hopefully see live theater again this summer and fall. Dominique's new position, the new building, the DPT block party is coming up on July 10th. It'll be a chance for you to interact with folks and show what you're doing. And your first commissioned play, Birthday Candles, is set to appear on Broadway. What a remarkable and optimistic moment. Are you both feeling it? Do you feel like you can fully enjoy what's happening right now?
Oh boy. You know, it was really such a moment when everything stopped for us. Sarah Claire Corporandi and I, our other partner, had flown to New York the day before. We went to the first rehearsal for Birthday Candles with Deborah Messing at the Roundabout Theater. All of these things had been leading up with great anticipation. We had a group of people coming to New York for the opening. It was all set to happen in April of 2020, and then it didn't. And so there was all this built up anticipation. And now I feel like we're getting back to that moment. There's been a lot of anticipation. There's been a lot of buildup. And we're finally ready to come back and come out. I feel really great that there's so much to celebrate, but I miss the audiences. So I don't know if I'm fully able to experience it. I feel like I've been trying to figure out what this experience is for the past 2 years, honestly.
Sarah, how about you?
I would say yes and no at the same time, because there is so much joy, but there is also so much work ahead. Quite honestly, even looking to this weekend, you know, like this is our first live gathering back, right? And it's a big block party. And I feel like right now I just have a lot of lists in my head, a lot of to-do lists. So I try to enjoy it, but in the midst of all of this joy and anticipation of what's to come, there is still a lot of grief to process for all of us. I'm trying to live in the joy and in the moment and still process and be mindful.
And maybe that's all you can do. Yeah. Well, as we just said, the Detroit Public Theater Block Party is happening tomorrow. That's Saturday, July 10th. A chance to see the new Selden Courtyard space in Midtown in the historic 3rd Avenue garage. We've been talking today with Sarah Winkler and Courtney Burkett, the co-founders and artistic directors of Detroit Public Theater. Ladies, it's been a real pleasure.
Thank you so much. It's really wonderful to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having us, April.